There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is in the alley with a vampire and a devil and a zombie. And joining me tonight, as Lee is still somewhere, probably harassing a pool boy somewhere, Damien, also known as the Unidentified Madman. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing this evening?
All right. Oops. What's going on? I hear a hum. Okay. Nothing's going on. It's been pretty quiet. Damien, we got to get to this. I know that you probably saw it on Twitter, but Dragon Con and the
Food Court.
Peach Tree have notified us that the food court will be operational.
Yes, officially. You don't have to worry about your... cheap eats and your steady diet of whatever you need. The food court definitely is open. I actually saw that earlier today and was quite happy. I'm like, oh, thank God. Somebody has given us an official 411 on, no, you're going to have food.
And I think we always knew that the food court was going to be open. It was a matter of the seating. And somehow, according to DragonCon's Twitter and Peachtree Center's Twitter, not only will they have the same number of seats, but they're going to have 150 more seats. I don't know how you do that with all that construction that I see going on over there, but, you know, I guess they can figure it out.
Look, we're just going to go on a pebble system. You're going to have to walk in Peachtree Center, reach in the bucket, and if you pick a white pebble out of the sea of black pebbles, then you take the long walk.
Now, I do know that it still is true, though, that the upstairs is going to be closed off. So
yes, but my hot dog guy will be out there. I promise you. If you really, really, there's a wonderful hot dog vendor that I forget that every time I'm down there for Dragon Con, I at least get one hot dog.
He's right outside.
Wonderful beef hot dogs. Yeah. One-eyed guy, right outside of the CVS with the hot dog cart.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And also, hey, you know, also, I don't know if we should encourage us or whatever, but usually there's people out there selling water for $1 or $2, ice cold water. So if you are in need of water and you find yourself without any, you know, always have a buck in your hand, in your pocket, and you'll be able to grab one of those, because it will be hot in Atlanta, most likely, because it always is. But you know, sometimes at night the vampires come. I don't know how to transition. Lee normally does this part of the show. Hey, you want to give it a shot, Damien?
No, you're good.
Okay. The vampires come out and zombies are shambling. But someone who might know a lot about these kind of things, here we go. See, is Carol. Carol from the Urban Fantasy Track. Oh, before I get to you, Carol, I also do still got to point out that Eddie McClintock is still not the grand marshal for the parade. All right, Carol. I want to reiterate that because it was said earlier in the this year that it was incorrect. So we've been wrong about the food court, and we've been wrong about Eddie McClintock being the grand marshal. So Regina's keeping us on our toes.
Disclaimer, people, that we're wrong about a lot of things, but we do a good job.
But keep listening.
Corrections.
We sound.
That's right.
Sound important. That's right. Carol, you are the director of the Urban Fantasy Track, and as per usual, I got to ask you this question. What does that mean?
Well, the best way to probably define urban fantasy is that urban fantasy it's not always contemporary, but people think of it as taking place in more, you know, current contemporary times. But the difference between urban fantasy and, say, your more traditional fantasy or high fantasy is that it's in a recognizable world. It's typically the real world that we all know, and adding in the supernatural in the forms of, sometimes there are some friendly monsters. There are monsters, using the term loosely, living amongst us. And that is probably the best distinction to make, it has a basis in the supernatural and in magic, but it's in a recognizable world. It's something that we see every once in a while. You might have something that has maybe an alternate dimension involved as well, but typically the primary action takes place in what we would recognize as being the real world, even if it is a somewhat different view of it.
So, for example, the kind of shows that you have on your track are supernatural.
Yes, we do. We have supernatural, and that's which we're very fortunate considering how long the show has been on the air. For, you know, 13 years is a long time, and you know, it's going to be back again, and we feel very fortunate to be, you know, able to cover that, and the fans are very faithful, so we appreciate that. And that's actually how I met Damien. He got in touch with me after the Urban Fantasy track was formed and the show was assigned to my track. And we also have things like Wynonna Earp and The Librarians, which is unfortunately in its last season. So we have, you know, a large grouping of somewhat different styles of urban fantasy. And we also were fortunate to get the new show Siren this year, which is very interesting if you haven't seen it. And I'm hoping that
now that's
people
the
will enjoy it.
Correct?
Yes. And as you've never seen them, trust me. Well, probably not anyway. And so we have those, and we do have American Gods, and we actually have cast members coming from American Gods this year, as well as a number of other, a number of other shows. Mm-hmm. And I think the number is 14 we have 14 shows that we cover that are either currently airing or are Buffy and Angel. When the Whedon track was disbanded, we were fortunate enough to inherit Buffy and Angel. And so those are the two that we cover that are not, you know, the currently airing. And when I say that, I mean that those are the ones that we run panels on in terms of discussion panels, are the ones that are, you know, for currently airing shows, as opposed to, you know, ones that have been off. For example, we have Lost Girl cast coming this year, which we're very excited about because that show has been part of the track, but we won't have a discussion panel on it. We'll have the guests or the media guests as guests on the panel, but are on the track, but not, you know, we won't be hosting a discussion of the show. We also cover things like iZombie, and another favorite is The Magicians. We have, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to have a wide variety. And then, you know, Lucifer and Shadowhunters and a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Certainly.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and even the somewhat trippy new show, Happy.
Happy.
Yes. So we do have, you know, quite a wide variety, and feel very, very fortunate to have so many good things out there that fit into our category.
Now, do the shows have to be, obviously you mentioned that Buffy and Angel are shows that are currently not airing. Although, of course, Buffy is now, at least it's rumored, and it looks like it's going forward. They're getting another series started, a continuation, yes, if you will. Do the shows have to be running for the most part, for it to be on your track, or is it like in the case of Buffy, Buffy and Angel, they really, if you look at the grand scope of the different tracks that are at Dragon Con, they really don't fit anywhere else. I mean, you could make the argument they could go in classic sci-fi, American classic sci-fi, but it's that really, I mean, if you look at the list of shows that they have there, which is a lot because they're covering mostly older shows. It doesn't really fit in there either because of the vampire element. It's not really a sci-fi show as much as it is a vampire show. Right. So,
right. It deals with supernatural forces. And well, typically what happens is that when there's a show that is currently airing, those are the ones that people mostly want to talk about when they come to con. Mm. And there are shows that after they go off the air, if the cast members come, such as in the case of Lost Girl this year, that show's been off for a few years now, but then they're coming back, which is great. Fans have been asking for that, and they are a lot of fun to work with. So I'm thrilled that they're coming back. So we will still have guests from that show if they come. If it's one that we used to cover, but we don't do, you know, panels on them every year. In the case of Buffy and Angel, one of the reasons, and we will have a lot of Buffy content this year. We don't have any specific people other than Christian Kane, who was on Angel. He's coming as part of Librarian's cast, but I'm sure he'll be fielding some Angel questions as well.
Oh, I've got some Wolfram and Hart questions that still need to be answered.
Okay, there you go. There you go. So you can do that. But the reason that I think it's important that we cover those is because there was a track that used to be, you know, that was based around them, that was formed because of them, not only because of them, but that those were the basis of, you know, the Whedon track or the foundation of the Whedon track. Mm-hmm. And I also feel as though those two shows, Buffy in particular, because Angel was a spinoff, but that those two shows had a huge effect on genre programming. And, you know, that any other urban fantasy show, but you know, definitely owes something to that, to both of them, and again probably Buffy even more so. But you know, Angel was on for 5 years, and it had a huge impact on the kinds of things that we see now. And I think that, you know, you have to kind of recognize the roots of, you know, where your genre had its beginning. And actually last year was the first year we covered Buffy and Angel on the urban fantasy track, and the discussion panel that I did for Buffy was titled "You Are All Here Because of Me." And that was pretty much that's how I feel about it anyway, that show has had the impact on everything that came after it. And, you know, I believe that most any writers, producers, showrunners will definitely, you know, say that, yes, that's the case. I know that Emily Andrus from Wynonna Earp has said that many times, that, you know, that Buffy was an influence on her, you know, for the kinds of things she wanted to do. So that's why they get their, you know, they still get programming, whereas the others get the discussion panels are all ones that are currently airing. Now we do one for ones that, you know, it's their last season and things like that. We have a few of those this year, like the Originals and the Librarians. So,
and you know, iZombie is going into its last season.
Next year. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Sad. So, it's a really good show.
So yeah. That will, you know, it's, you know, you hate to see something go when you really enjoy it, but at the same time, if it's going to go, at least they get a chance to
finish the story,
end it the way they want.
Yeah. And it's
right. Because there are a lot of shows that, and we talk about this, I think, on the panel a lot of times, where they've gone far, far too long.
Right,
and you're like, oh, like I'm still watching out of obligation, and at the same time, we end up heavily critiquing how bad the season was, or the things that we really didn't like about the season versus, because I guess let me throw in the caveat that once again, a lot of the panels that Carol has on her programming track. Definitely, it's a fan-run panel, obviously. So there are several people up there. But there's also fellow writers that are typically that she keeps on most of her panels. I've met a lot of great people who've written some wonderful books over the past couple of years of being on Carol's programming track. And we all say the same thing. It's like, maybe this should have wrapped up way earlier. And so with now, you know, with Buffy, you know, that's coming back. But then with iZombie, okay, we know we have one season. We can now kind of make sure we're wrapping this up and give a kind of fitting finale.
Right, exactly. And I actually, my husband and I were discussing it the other night, and this is not in the urban fantasy genre, but it does play into what you were talking about. We you know, her recently the news came down that Colony was not being renewed, and we both enjoy that show. And it was, I told him, I said, well, you remember we had this discussion back when Falling Skies was on, that sometimes certain genres kind of have to have an end point. And I think that the post-apocalyptic one is kind of that way. But that's a personal feeling, and again, has nothing to do with my track. But I, in the wider spectrum, yes, there are things that perhaps do go on too long, and need to kind of, you know, have a game plan for the end. And I, you know, and people may feel differently about different shows, but that's why we talk about them at Con, and it's like, well, what did we most enjoy, and what did we wish they hadn't done? And, you know, we encourage people to come out and listen. And I do thank you, Damian, for mentioning that the panels are typically a mix of they can be anybody, but I try to do a good mix of people who are on the official guest list, you know, who would be either, writers or, you know, other, we've had some other podcasters that have come on that who, you know, who are very involved in one particular show property or another. And that, you know, that's been very helpful, and that will continue. And then also people who are just really big fans who get in touch with me and say, hey, I'd really like to, you know, to do this. And, you know, if I've got the space, I'm willing to give people a shot to, you know, get up there and do it. And it I think it works out well to have that balance. I like that mix.
I do too. One of the things I definitely have always enjoyed over the past few years of being on your panels, man, it's really, if you come to any of the urban fantasy fan panels, it's literally you in a room full of people that really, really like the show. We very rarely have people sitting in the audience that want to troll or honestly want to dislike the show. If we dislike something with the show, it's literal fan disappointment in a direction that things may be going. But other than that, it's almost like you're sitting in a room full of people with your friends discussing the show with, you know, with a loose format.
Right, right. Well, loose, and at the same time, we don't, you know, sometimes we might get a little bit off track, but there is a plan, and, you know, try to keep things, you know, organized
focused.
Anyway,
yeah, focused,
and
yeah.
And polite. We want to have polite fun. Let's put it that way.
Now, speaking of shows that have been running for a long time, Supernatural.
Yes, I guess.
Tread lightly, John. Tread lightly.
I'm not gonna. Hey, look, I've never actually watched the show other than on the treadmill at the gym. It's usually up on one of the big television show or big TV screens that are up there. Of course, I can't hear it, can't see it, so I just kind of know. I just kind of see it. That's all. I mean, I can see it. Obviously, I can't hear it, is what I'm trying to say. So I have no idea what's going on. I know there's two guys. They have a car and some guns. That's about the extent of what I understand.
The Impala. Okay, John? It's the Impala.
Okay.
Right? Let's get that correct.
It's not a car. It's the car.
It's not a car. Okay. It's a cast member. Okay. It is a member of the family.
That's true. Okay? They even had an episode that was supposedly told from Baby's point of view. So, you know.
Well, you
and, yeah, that was interesting.
You mentioned that there's something on Thursday night for fans of Supernatural on your track.
Yes, we are going to have a trivia game with questions over the first 11 seasons of the show, and we'll have some prizes and stuff. It's basically, it was a way, because my schedule is really full, and I have in the past tried to do two Supernatural panels, but just because the fandom is so large, but because of the schedule, I just was unable to do it during, you know, the regular programming. So I thought, hey, let's do something fun on Thursday night, and actually consulted with Damien. He thought it was a good idea as well. So we are going to just, you know, hang out in the track room. We're going to, it'll be me asking some questions, and I'm not exactly positive of how I'm going to do the whole setup yet, but I will know by then, I promise. Mm-hmm. And there will be prizes for first and second place for the people who get the most questions correct. So it'll be fun.
And just the wonderful thing about Carol is your prizes, 9 times out of 10, you get really, really good books.
Oh, right? Well,
if you enjoy reading, like for real, I'm not sure why this isn't called the Lit Trek. She really does do a good job of staffing lots of writers on like Eric Asher, Cherie Priest, who is my Twitter buddy. We send each other dog photos during the week.
Oh, good, good.
Right.
Yes.
We're two people with large dogs, so multiple dogs at that. So we send each other dog photos. Keith DeCandido.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that right? Yep. Right. There's just been a lot of people. One of the Stoker heirs, correct?
Yes. Yes. He will be there as well. And well, and that is something. I'm very fortunate. I feel very glad to be able to cover both books and media on the Urban Fantasy track. And I make an effort to keep the programming balanced between the two so that it's about a half and half split, and, you know, time wise and everything. So there are lots of authors, and actually this year I was putting together my list just yesterday, and I counted, and I think this is the highest number we've ever had, but there will be 50 different authors appearing on programming this year.
Wow.
So yeah, and we have 50, and then also we have but at the same time we have casts from three different shows coming, and we have one person coming who will represent one show, but it won't be a whole cast kind of thing. We'll have one panel with them. So, you know, it is a balance, and there's a little bit of something for everyone, and I'm glad that we get people, you know, from both sides of the aisle, so to speak, that are involved. And there are a lot of people who come because of both types of program. They come to see both.
That is
John, really cool. That I'll throw in there. If you show up to any of these panels, you never know what's going to happen. So this is where we, once again on the podcast, delve into story time with Madman. So I think it was the first or second year that we were all together over in the Westin. And Supernatural's Osric Chow came to Dragon Con.
Yes, yes, that was amazing.
He did not
yes.
come as a guest. He came as a fan. And we were sitting on the Supernatural fan panel. The room is completely packed. And you're up on this stage at a table. And he sits in the very first row in front of us in disguise. And I look, he took his mask off. But he's in a schoolgirl outfit and a wig. And I'm looking and I go, that looks like Osric Chow. And so we're still holding the panel, and me and Kelly are looking back and forth on my phone. And I look back, I'm like, that is Osric Chow. And he just looks at me and goes, shh. So I had to sit there through the whole panel. Carol's oblivious. She's got the microphone. She's doing the thing the whole time. And finally, she's about to release the entire panel it's over and we've got to clear the room. And I was like, hold it. We've got to stop. And these two girls run up with their phones on Twitter and go, he said you can tell it now. And I was like, look, we've got a guest in the room from the show Supernatural. No one knew he was here. I've had to be quiet the whole time. Carol has no idea. And I go, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Osric Chow. And literally every girl in that room shrieked at such a high pitch. I did not hear the rest of the convention.
Yes, and that is a very memorable story. And that was in 2014, the second year of the track. And yes, it was a lot of fun. And I didn't, because I was basically, I look towards the audience, but I'm also looking at the panelists, and you're facing right on the front. Since you said he was out by, I kept wondering, what is Damien looking at? You know, it's like, lose focus though. So that was amazing.
Yeah. And then, so the following year, because iZombie's on the track and we didn't have any guests. So Rahul Kohli, who plays Ravi on iZombie, just calls in and does a video call right then and there and Skypes in the middle of the panel. So I spend the rest of the panel just holding a microphone up to a phone so that the audience can hear.
Yes, and then the next year we did get some guests, but he was not one of them, which was too bad. But yes, and that happened because one of our audience members was speaking. She was making tweets about the fact that she was in this panel about iZombie, and somehow he picked it up. He saw it, and that's when he said, "Hey, you know." So, and this was somebody that I didn't know who had just come to the panel to talk about the show, and then the next thing you know, her, was it a phone or a tablet? I don't remember, but whatever it was
a phone.
Okay. And whatever, yeah, and so she brought it up, and yeah, there it was fun. And that actually
Yes, Henry actually put that on CNN. Henry
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, is a producer over at CNN who happened to be in the room participating, and that showed up on CNN the very, very next day.
Yeah, so that, it's another example of how things can happen at Dragon Con that you, in a good way, things you don't plan for.
Yeah.
Then there are the things that we did plan for. Like, she had Edie Mays from Teen Wolf, who by far is one of the most animated people that I've ever had the pleasure of doing a panel with. She was not behind the table at all. She was completely in the audience, very, very much engaged.
Yes, she had warned me. She said, well, that's why she had me have her down by the end by me, so that she would. She's like, I do tend to get up and walk around a lot. It's like, it's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, she did not sit still the entire time, but she was a very, very fantastic guest. And it's one of the most fun guests I've ever met.
So
yes, she's a fascinating person.
So what are some of the media guests you have this year?
We have a cast member. Well, we have all of the, as I said before, the Lost Girl folks, but we're having not just a few of them. We actually are having all nine of the cast members who were the ones who had any kind of, well-known regular role.
Yeah, story.
And now they won't all be on each of the panels every day, because a few of them will be doing other things, like Paul Amos and Chris Holden Reed are also, did voice work in Assassin's Creed. And then Rachel Skarsten was in Rain. And so there are people who will be doing a few other things, but they will all be there. And we even have Jay Firestone, who was the producer of the show. So that's exciting that he's never been before. So he's the only one of them who's never been, but this is the first time that all of them have been there at the same time. And we do have Christian Kane and John Kim from The Librarians coming. And that has been a big deal. A lot of people are very excited about that. And we have three of the guys from American Gods. We have Ricky Whittle and Damore Barnes and Bruce Langley all coming. And that is a big deal for us. So we're very excited. And one of the things that I'm also very pleased about with that is that these three different shows are all, that's a variety. They're all very different from one another, and yet they all share some commonality, and that's why they're part of the Urban Fantasy track. So I'm feeling as though, you know, we're reaching out to lots of different people by having that variety. And then just announced a few days ago was Tom Welling, and he's going to do a Lucifer panel.
Oh, excellent.
With us on Friday. Yeah. So that should be exciting.
Yeah. So the master plan this year is to actually be there in a Batman shirt, standing between Brandon Routh and Tom Welling.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
That's the plan. It may not go through. You know, I try not to make plans on people that Damian's going to run into, but that's one of the ones I really do want to try to make work, because they're both played Superman.
Mm-hmm. Right. That would be, now that is actually a really cool idea. That would be quite the photo opportunity. And you never know, with your luck, you might run into them in the elevator or something.
You know? That is correct. Yeah, another one of those urban fantasy and true stories of things that happen to Madman. My wife is a huge fan of Lost Girl, and that's the only reason I knew what the show was, right? She's the one who was a fan of the show, and I started watching. And I knew who several of the people were because I'd seen them in other things. So she goes to bed one night at DragonCon. She's like, look, I'm beat. It's Friday night. I'm just going to go home and go to bed. And she goes home, goes to bed. So it's about 1 a.m. And once again, John, I'm headed up the super secret floor using the super secret passageway. Mm-hmm. And I end up in the elevator, and it's literally Chris Holdenreed and a bunch of dudes from Lost Girl. And I'm like, oh, mind if we get some photos from my wife? And they're like, heck no. So I'm like, all right, well, you missed this sandwich.
And she's like, oh, no.
When did this happen? I was like, hey, you went to bed. This is what happens. And then we get up there. Poor Tony Curran. So it's Tony Curran and Jesse Rath. And there's as well. And Jesse proceeds to explain, everywhere they go, somehow they end up messing up Tony's room. So they're both exhausted and are just sitting there with us in Super Secret Lounge. And then, like, while they try to straighten out Tony's room, I'm like, oh my God, this is awful. Because the man looked absolutely tired and exhausted and beat. And they finally got it straightened out. But they were really, really, actually were really, really nice. Very, very personable. You know, we just sat around and had coffee.
Yeah, well, there's Dragon Con for you. I mean, seriously, things like that, you know, it's possible things like that could happen in other places, but I feel as though it's probably more likely at Dragon Con than it is, you know, in other places.
Right. My most tweeted photo ever actually is last year, Kat Barrel and her mom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm after the parade, John, and we're standing there, and Kat Barrel is one of the young ladies on one of our shows, Wynonna Earp.
Mm-hmm.
And so her mother was dressed as her character in the sheriff's department outfit.
Yeah, and it was hilarious.
I'm finishing breakfast. I'm out walking around. I'm like, oh, my God. And I called the character's name. And Kat goes, yeah, that's my mom. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Kat. Like, Kat, photo. And they were like, okay, you're not supposed to, but sure, let's do it.
Well, and yeah.
That thing has been tweeted more than anything I've ever put on the internet.
Well, there you have it. And
Herb fans are really, really into their show.
They are very much into their show.
There are many of them.
Yes.
There are many of them, yes. And the show got renewed for a fourth season. Well, one other thing that a similar story to that is there's an author who was saying that she and her husband, or her husband anyway, was a Dirk Gently fan. And the actor who, Michael Eklund, who played or who had a role in Dirk Gently, also was in Wynonna Earp.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at Con last year with the rest of the cast. And her husband saw him in a bar, but he doesn't look like Bobo. He looks like himself. But she thought it was some random guy, not her. her husband thought that it was some random guy cosplaying the character from Dirk Gently. And she's like, no, honey, that's actually him. He's here.
Well, he was out walking around and partying with people in the crowd the entire time that he was free.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Like, there were several pictures I saw from other friends. I was like, oh, no, he popped into the rave. Here's a picture, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so the nice thing about Dragon Con is that, I'm going to say, for the most part, the fans are really respectful of the guests. They don't, you know, they aren't, guests are typically not mobbed. And you know, when they are noticed, and they typically, again, ask politely if, you know, if it's okay to talk to them or, you know, whatever. And for the most part, because of the atmosphere that is Dragon Con, the guests that really get into it, you know, they understand this is just really a party for the fans, by the fans, you know, run for the most part by the fans. So, you know, it's one of those that's how these things happen, is because the vibe is there where it's not some sort of corporate, you know, thing that, you know, you have to go to, that you have to be, so, you know, one place or the other place. I know that they have obligations to be at, but for the most part, it's really an open-ended, you know, party.
Agreed. Yes. And I think that's one appeal that the place has for, you know, not just authors or, you know, maybe gamers or anybody who happens to come for those reasons. But also, I think the media guests feel that. I think that for them, you know, I mean, obviously there are some of them who aren't going to be out, you know, wandering the crowds, because they would, you know, it would be too much of a crowd, or, you know, or it would stop, everything would stop, not just because they would be afraid of getting mobbed or anything. But I do agree with you that I feel as though, for the most part, you know, the fans are very respectful of that. And we have, I had mentioned something about all of the authors that I'll have on panels this year. And we're very excited to have, for the first time at Dragon Con, it's actually a husband and wife writing team, Ilona Andrews, but his name is Gordon. So it's Ilona and Gordon Andrews, but they write under the name Ilona Andrews, and that's a big deal. And we will have Kim Harrison back again, which that's always a great turnout. And, you know, her first time was last year, and I think she is very pleased to be coming back. And then we have our more or less, you know, regulars, Laurel K. Hamilton and Sherilyn Kenyon, that will be back with us, and a whole bunch of other folks that, you know, some of whom have been long time supporters of the track and have always been involved. And then we have some who've never been before, and that's always fun. And you did mention, Damien, you mentioned Dacre Stoker, who is the great grandnephew of Bram Stoker.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's very exciting that he has been so involved in doing research on, he's done research on Bram Stoker's research and what he's learned, and he's an author in his own right as well. So we're very pleased that he'll be back again. And, you know, just there are a number of people that have always been supportive of the track and have always returned and have been, you know, basically a joy all the time to work with, and that's what you like, right? So we're thrilled.
Do you have any other panels that you want to highlight this year?
Well, I think, well, I do have one that's going to be the interview that I'm going to do with Dacre Stoker, where people can hear a little bit about his process, like how did he even get started in this, in doing this? It's turned into becoming his primary occupation, you know, tracking down all of this information about his great granduncle and how he went about doing the research. So that's going to be fun. And people will get a chance to ask more questions than they would during his regular presentation. So I think that will be fun. We've got one on that I'm calling Working in the Buffyverse. And it's there's going to be one actor, an artist, and three authors who wrote official tie-in novels. You know, the Buffy books, there are, you know, a lot of them. So I think that one will be interesting for Buffy fans. We also are doing one that we'll see. It's just kind of an interesting topic, I think. And there are a few other tracks who are doing something somewhat similar, but from a different, you know, from kind of a different perspective, I guess, or a different angle. And I'm doing one on religion and spirituality in urban fantasy. And that means any kind of religion or spirituality. And this is this is one of the book related panels for, you know, how different characters might exhibit their different kinds of faith, whichever they may happen to be. So those are some that I think, you know, people might really enjoy. I'm doing one calling Saving Her Corner of the World a lot, and it's on female protagonists in urban fantasy. And that is going to be, you know, that's, again, a book-related one, although, you know, aside from the panel title aside, there probably will be other references to Buffy in that panel as well. So there are any number of them. I would encourage people to also come to our media guest panels, and the one with Tom Welling is going to be, you know, pretty interesting, as we will be focusing at that time. It's not as though we won't let people ask a Smallville question here and there, but there will be some other panels for that. So we're going to be doing, you know, we'll be focusing a lot on that. So I think that one, you know, will be particularly interesting. And we do, I will be posting on August 1st the tentative schedule. It won't have panelist names, but it will have, you know, the all of the panels together, days, times, you know, again, tentative, because as we all know, mm-hmm. that with Dragon Con, it's not over until it's over. It's that's always true, but it's all tentative until it's over. So, you know, things change at the last minute for any number of reasons, but, you know, we do our best to keep people updated about that kind of information. And if they follow, especially if they follow our Facebook page, mm-hmm. They'll get, you know, as things up to date as quickly as I know them anyway.
Yeah. As we like to say, it hasn't happened. The panel hasn't happened until it's actually happened. And even then, that's questionable.
That is true. Sometimes we do have to wonder, did we really see that or not? Yes.
Speaking of your Facebook, I believe that's a DC Urban Fantasy. So it's facebook.com/DC Urban Fantasy. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. And they also, if people just type in Dragon Con Urban Fantasy,
yes,
It comes up easily that way. And that is usually where people are going to get information first from us. We do have a Twitter account also, but one of the reasons I encourage people to use the Facebook page is that, number one, it's the one that I update more quickly, mm-hmm. and also that it goes on all year long. It's not just, oh, it's, you know, 2 months to Dragon Con, so I'm going to start posting things. I mm-hmm. keep it active all year long, and there are always things going on the page all year long. So I do encourage people to do that. But we do have a Twitter account, which is Urban Fantasy DC. So it's opposite of what the Facebook page is. So that doesn't help, but that's what we got. So, that is our Twitter handle. So please do follow us there. But it's, as I said, I just that it tends to be more active this time of year, and you know, the few months leading up to con, more so than anything else. And we do, you know, any kind of announcements, any kind of guest announcements that pertain to us, we will do that on Twitter. But in terms of interaction, Facebook is the one that
probably
we do
gets
the
better.
Most.
Yeah, yeah. And it's easier to see things too there. Twitter, Twitter can get really kind of convoluted. Even with their threading, it kind of gets really weird. So,
right.
Where can they physically find you at the con? Where's your room?
We are in the Westin, and we are on the main floor, which is what they call the sixth floor. But it's if you come
yeah,
in the front door of the Westin, that, you know, you walk up the stair on Peachtree Street,
you walk up
the stairs and go in the front. We are all the way at the back behind the escalators, but on that very first floor. Mm-hmm. Now the secret is the room number is Chastain 1 and 2. And if it's really crowded, which as we know, it usually is, one little trick that people can take is if they come in the side entrance on the if they walk up instead of in the front way to the Westin, but they go up the side way and they end up on the fifth floor, on the lobby floor. Mm-hmm. If you take the escalator up one level, it stops right in front of our room.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, so it's a lot easier. So especially when it gets to be a little bit later in the day on Friday, and then probably just about any time Saturday or Sunday, it might be easier to go that way. Unless, of course, you're trying to get, you know, if you're coming from one of our other cohorts, if you're coming from Apocalypse Rising or from military, you know,
sci-fi military, yeah.
Sci-fi media track.
The horror track is right above, I believe.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, and so they're, but the, and so they're above us. They're on one floor up. So you know, or maybe it's two. Now that I think of it, in any case, they're up. But if you get on the escalator and go up, you find them too. So and they, yes. They are our pals, so we get a lot of people going up and down between those two as well.
Well, Carol, before we leave, we have a game to play. William,
oh boy,
yeah, William is here. Oh, which game are we playing today?
Family Feud Disney Edition.
Family Feud Disney Edition. So William is going to ask a question, Family Feud style. So, like, for example, you know. 20 people were surveyed, and the great, well, you probably won't tell me how many people were surveyed, but what is, name a flavor of, you know, ice cream, and you just say whatever the answer is. And so we'll just go, each of us will get a chance to answer. So we'll start with you, Carol. You get the first, you get to answer the question first, and Damien go, and then I will go. And then we'll, however many points were associated with the correct, those answers is how many points you get at the end of 5 questions. We total it up and see who won.
So
William, what is the first question?
Name the Disney character you most associate with the color blue.
Name the Disney character you most associate with the color blue.
Cinderella.
Okay, Cinderella. Damien.
Eeyore. Any blue?
Ooh, Eeyore, yes. Yes, that's a good answer. Okay. Smurfs are not Disney, right?
No, those are French.
Oh. Then never mind. I never said that. Blue. I'll say Belle, although I don't think she's blue at all, but...
That's yellow, Joe.
Oh, you know what?
That's
no, it's Snow White. Snow White. Snow White. Even though her name is Snow White. Okay. Any of those on there?
Cinderella and Snow White were.
Oh, Eeyore was not. All right. How many points was Cinderella for?
29.
Those aren't real Disney fans.
And how about
Snow White was 13.
13. And Damien, big fat zero. Who else was on the list?
Fairy Godmother. Dumbo, Belle, Elsa, Dumbo. Genie, Snow White, Donald Duck, and Cinderella.
Genie. Genie's a good answer, too.
Yeah.
But Dumbo.
That's what I was wondering.
Maybe
yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
It's the same color scheme as Eeyore, like, if not like more gray.
All right, next question, William.
How much money do you think Scrooge McDuck has in his vault?
Carol, how much money do you think Scrooge McDuck has in his vault?
Well, since 29 was my lucky number, why don't I go with 29 grand?
29 grand. Okay. Damien?
$1 billion.
Okay. I'll say $100 billion.
Okay.
And probably none of us were even anywhere close,
well,
right?
A billion was on the list, yes.
A billion was on the list. How much is that?
Oh, my gosh.
13 points.
13. What was else was on the list?
1 trillion, millions, billions, 1 billion, 1 million.
Let me see that card.
I just confused as you are. Okay.
1 million, 1 billion, billions, millions. But that's a... Okay, I guess multiples of billions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Technically, then my answer was correct, right? I said 100 billion.
Technically,
you
yes.
Say billions.
All right. Okay.
There you go with your technicalities again.
All right. Next question, William.
Which of the seven dwarves would win a 100-meter running race?
Which of the seven dwarves would win a 100-meter running race?
I've heard they're natural sprinters.
Yes, dwarves. Dwarves. When you think dwarves.
Yeah, right. Which one would, I'd say Happy.
Happy?
Just because, you know, yeah, you could tell him there's something that makes him happy at the end, and he might just go for it.
How about you, Damien?
Which of the seven? The one that wrestles on Friday, Thursday nights at Dragon Con.
I was going to say.
No, I'm going to say Angry.
Angry?
Yeah, why not?
Is his name Angry or is it Grumpy? Grumpy. Grumpy. Okay, yeah, Grumpy.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out.
I'm going to say Usaini. Usaini Bolty?
Usaini Bolty.
Is he one of them? Is he one of the dwarves? No. Okay. I'll go with Dopey for no other reason than. I didn't really know any of the other ones. Okay. I mean, Doc maybe, but he seems like he wouldn't be very.
They were all on the list.
Okay. So. So who, and is the list seven? Is it list seven long?
No, it was five long. But
all right. So what was the top one?
Top was Happy for 22 points.
And Carol said that, right?
Hey,
Carol, how are we doing this?
Yes.
What's the next one down?
And then the next one was Doc, which no one said. Then was Grumpy for 17 points.
Ooh,
yes, bye bye.
And then Dopey for 15 points.
15 points. I'm losing currently.
And last was Sleepy.
Sleepy. What? How would Sleepy win?
How would he even be on the list?
I know, right?
Oh, boy. All right, next question. Question number four.
If you owned a ship, which Disney or Disney Pixar character would you like to be captain?
If you owned a ship, which Disney character would you like to be have captain? Or Disney or Pixar?
Disney or Disney Pixar, yes.
Or Disney Pixar, okay. Carol.
Huh.
I mean, if you own the ship, shouldn't you be captain?
Can I pick Jack Sparrow?
Yes, you can,
but he's probably not on the list.
You can.
You could say anybody, really.
That's right. Okay,
but he's neither Disney nor Pixar. Disney. When they say Disney,
well, I thought that Disney owned, or that was a Disney film.
It's a classic Disney characters, right?
It's mostly classic Disney characters. Yeah.
Okay. What?
Yeah, on the list. Yeah, do you still want to go, Jack Sparrow?
Well, if you're giving me the hint that it's only classic characters that are on the list of answers, then I will pick someone else.
Yeah, classic Disney and classic Pixar, or well, I mean, okay. As classic as Pixar is.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Maybe. We'll just go with Prince Charming.
Prince Charming. Okay.
He has some. He has some issues he needs to work out, so we'll go with that.
The captain. And yeah, you want him to be captain of your ship?
He's gonna make an effort to, you know, do something.
It's his midlife crisis. Don't worry about it.
And if I change it and Jack Sparrow is on there, you guys are in big trouble.
I was gonna go with Captain America, but
that would be in the Marvel one.
They're owned by Disney. Yeah, they're all Disney at this point. Everything is Disney.
It's literally almost true, yes. Disney own Buffy now? Is that how that works?
Well, they own Fox.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Well,
they own Fox Film and Television, so there you go. She's now a Disney princess.
But she's not animated.
I was going to say, hopefully
I'm
we
won't going to go with Captain Hook. Don't care if he's a villain. Obviously, he was qualified enough to keep that ship afloat for forever.
Good choice.
There you go.
He has his license.
I'm going to go with a points grab and say, now I can't remember his name. Buzz Lightyear.
That's right.
Buzz Lightyear. I'm thinking he's on the list.
They were all on the list.
They were all on the list.
Every single character, yeah. So all of them are on the list.
Even Captain America? Does that mean I get double points for both?
All right, so who was number one?
Captain Hook for 22 points.
Ooh.
Captain Hook was
22 points.
Oh, good.
I was going to choose Captain Crunch, but he's not Disney.
I mean, have you seen his ship? Like, that, it does not seem very sanitary. There's like milk all over it. It's very concerning.
That's true.
Captain Crunch has been captain that ship longer than you've been alive.
Isn't he Admiral Crunch at this
point? I mean, there's been a lot of things that have been going on for longer than I've been alive. Don't.
That doesn't mean anything. All right.
You just drink the milk out the bowl.
All right, so what's the next one?
The next one was Buzz Lightyear for 16 points.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And Prince Charming, where did that come in?
Second to last on the list for 7 points.
7 points.
Oh, well.
And who else was on the list?
Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Woody, and Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Okay. Peter Pan, I can see.
Yeah, Peter was actually going to be my next answer.
Last question. It's a really tight game right now.
What European capital would be a good place for Goofy to live?
What European capital? Okay.
For Goofy to live.
Now, depending upon your opinion of Goofy, we'll also reflect upon which capital you think he belongs in.
Yeah, that could be a very loaded question. But I think that Goofy would probably do well in an English-speaking country, so let's go with London.
London, okay. Damien.
Belgium, waffles and chocolate.
I will go with the only other European capital I know, Paris. That's it. No, I know more capitals than that.
That's what everyone picked. The number one answer.
It was indeed the number one answer.
Yes! All right, how many points did I get for that?
35 points, and Ooh. Second place was London for 17 points.
Because it's the only two capitals they know.
I don't doubt that.
What about Belgium? Was it on there?
No. No.
Not even close.
Is Belgium a country, isn't it?
That's what I was supposed
to say. It's a country. But I think the capital's like Luxembourg. No one's going to pick that, so I just threw Belgium out there.
Yeah.
What else is correct.
It is
from the bottom.
You can go ahead and look it up. I know I'm right about that one.
Is Oslo, Madrid, Berlin, Amsterdam, Brussels, and Rome?
Oh, Amsterdam might work for him. That's a whole different show. We're going to move right along.
All right. Well, I tally up the points. Carol, let everyone know again where to find more information on the internet for you and where to find you at con.
Yes, you can find us before everything begins and even during on our Facebook page, which is, if you just look up Dragon Con Urban Fantasy, that is probably the easiest way to get there. And then we also do have a Twitter account, which is at Urban Fantasy DC, so you can get some information from us that way. Also, when you come to Con, please come see us in Chastain 1 and 2, but do keep in mind that we do have a lot of programming that goes on in the ballrooms because the media guests all appear there, and we do have signs outside that will differentiate. They started doing that last year where they will have separate signs for the things that are occurring in the track room and the things that are part of our track that are occurring in other locations. So do make sure to watch for that, and those will be outside of our room, as well as in the app and in the guide or the whatever the schedule is. The, what do they call the printed program? The program.
Yeah,
that's the program, what they call it.
They call it the program. A program.
The yes, they call the program the program. Imagine
they
that.
Call it the tree killers. Everyone has a smartphone. Why are you killing trees?
Or are they still? Are,
this is true.
I thought that someone said that they weren't doing it this year. Of course, this is probably third number thing. The third thing I'm getting wrong this year. That
they'll
they
correct
us
on Twitter. Don't worry.
No, the difference is I can tell. I'll tell this one I do know. I didn't know anything about the food court, but I do know this: that what they're doing with the printed program is that it will no longer have panel descriptions in it. It will have just the titles. It'll still have the grid. It'll have the maps. It'll have information.
So it'll be smaller.
Yeah, but it won't have the panel descriptions because those, you know, they were getting to be so, you know, that you needed a microscope to look at some of them or a magnifying glass at the very least. So they have the app will have all of the, you know, all of the descriptions for everything, but the printed program will not, but it does still exist.
All right. Cool. For those people that, you know, just like killing trees. Enjoy. all right. So the final scores coming in third place, Damien, with 52 points. And in
I'm number one in your heart.
And in second place, very close, Carol with 75. And I won. Yes. First time this year.
Oh, my goodness.
With 79 points. I pulled out that last point grab, if you will, with Paris.
Well, there you go. Good for you. Congratulations, John.
I am awesome. No, okay.
And thank you, William. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Yes, thank you, William.
All right. So until next time, for William.
Well, hold on. One more thing, John. Oh, yeah. John, before we cut out, I want to say one thing, and this is something that we typically do at the end of the panels for Carol, because the app was mentioned, right? And because this is about the actual programming. No, the app is not out yet. Right? Let me clear that up. I don't want to get everybody in a scramble. Oh, they said the app was out. The app is not out yet. All right. You'll continue to get messages with all of your friends going, hey, the app is not out yet. Is the app out yet? Hey, is the app out yet? Up until the time for the convention. But what I will say is once you have the app, there is a process at the end of every panel that if you go inside the app, it gives you an opportunity to rate the panel, but also to provide feedback. With Dragon Con being a fan run convention, so to speak, your input's important, right? It helps provide feedback and input for programming that you may want to see for the following year or ways that we can improve and what have you. And so I encourage everyone, especially at the end of our panels, I always do this, Carol always does it, rate your panels in the app. Provide some form of feedback when you get some downtime, even if it's just, hey, really, really liked this, rate the app and send it. You know, you never know because it's your convention too. It allows you to give some form of input on what you may want to see going forward. So there you go. There's the spiel on that.
Very good. Yes, do that. And they do, as Lee will tell you, as Carol will tell you, they do read that. Your feedback, your constructive feedback, is always welcome. I didn't like it because Bob looked ugly is not constructive.
Right.
It's, yeah. This panel didn't work for me because of something very specific. It stayed off. It was off topic or it wasn't as described or something like that. As always, you know, is helpful if you're looking for quote unquote negative feedback. But
Bob would have showered on day three.
Yes.
but I think the feedback. Key there is constructive. Yes. As you said.
So that it's something they can do with. If you're just going to complain, it doesn't help anybody. There's nothing they can do with that because A, we don't know who you are. B, the con's already over by the time we get that information. So constructive information, constructive feedback of, you know, how things can be improved or something that you thought was could have gone a little better. Or, of course, positive feedback of this was awesome. This works. Do more of that. You know, so that kind of thing.
Also, if you see Carol has an unlimited chocolate budget
No, I'm not supposed to say this, but Carol always has chocolates in her panels. If you ask nicely, I'm pretty sure you can get some.
Now, this is going to be interesting. We'll be able to see how many new chocolate askers I have.
All of a sudden, there's
your
an uptick of,
come to double.
People just stopping by asking for chocolate.
That's right. They will. Yeah, and I'll know who to blame now.
Like, Madman said you had the chocolate.
So until next time, and before Madman gets too many more people in trouble, this is John for William, Damien, and Carol saying peace.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.